Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad John Fox is here, too, because he's our good friend and a longtime member of our brain trust. John is the author of If Americans Really Understood the Income Tax. He's also a tax attorney, has been in his life. I think he's kind of halfway retired from that now. He's teaching as a professor at Mount Holyoke College in Hadley, Massachusetts, actually South Hadley, just over the notch. And he's our good friend. John Fox, welcome back to the show.
Jim, delighted to be with you again.
It's good to have you back. Hey, John, did you guess what today is in South Hadley? You know what the big deal is today in South Hadley?
No. How did I miss it? What is it?
1838.
The first class
graduated from Mount Holyoke Seminary in South Hadley, Massachusetts. It was, which, as you know, is one of the first female colleges in America.
It was the first.
The first. And 1838, the first graduating class, Mount Holyoke, where you teach, and in South Hadley, and as I remind folks, just over the notch, as they told me when I visited there a few years ago.
Yes, and well, that's a great fact. I love it that you found that out.
Listen, you gotta come to this show to get this kind of important information. You can't get this kind of critical stuff anywhere else, John.
Well, I wasn't teaching back then either.
No, that was was that a couple of years before your time, wasn't it?
It was. But I've had a wonderful career there. I've been teaching at Mount Holyoke, a course I now call Winners and Losers on U.S. Tax Policy.
Right.
I've been teaching it since about 1985. So it's a wonderful campus, a great place to be.
Well, one of the things I know you want to talk about today, John, is Medicare. And
yes.
And I want to talk about that a little bit, but I want to make sure before you leave we touch on flat tax a little bit, because Steve Forbes is going to be on the show on Friday, and he's got a whole book out on flat tax now.
Yes, he does.
And of course, he's one of the leading proponents of it. But anyway, where are we stuck with Medicare? And why should small business owners care?
Well, small business owners are going to have to care a lot, and every American has to care a lot, but we're just ignoring this problem. I refer to it as the fiscal monster of our future, even though I think Medicare, the concept, is a wonderful idea, and it's been so useful to the elderly. It's going to skyrocket in cost, Jim. It's a much more serious problem than Social Security. Let me just give you the...
Remind people the difference, just in case some people get confused.
Yeah.
Because there was a time when I think I did a while back. Remind people the difference between Medicaid and Medicare.
Medicaid is the program for poor people. Medicare is the program for people who are seniors, and seniors is defined as 65 and older.
It's so the medical part of it's basically the medical side of Social Security, isn't it?
Of the federal insurance, of the taxes, the FICA taxes that we pay.
Yeah.
Medicare came into effect in 1965. Social Security was there, since 1935 or 37. And Medicare, used to be a rather modest cost as a percentage of our nation's economy. Mm-hmm. Currently, it's about 3.6% of our nation's economy, our GDP, mm-hmm. around $300 billion a year. But listen to this. If we don't make any changes, Jim, over the next 75 years, Medicare is projected to cost 13.6% of our GDP.
Mm.
That's a 400% increase.
Well, right now, our health care is about 17% of our GDP.
It's huge.
When people talk about the 17% or so of our one-sixth of our economy that's our health care, are they including Medicare?
I think so. I think so. They must include it.
Right.
If we had the 13.6% of our GDP, if it existed today, Jim, it would be over $1.5 trillion.
Yeah.
And to put that in perspective, our entire defense budget is only $450 billion.
Well, and put it in perspective another way, our national GDP is $11
trillion. It's $11 trillion. Total income tax collections, about 8% of our GDP. So it would be almost double the total amount
we aren't adjusting for inflation when we use those numbers. So that's
no.
really not fair, John, but I mean, not really an appropriate way to look at it from that standpoint. But what... Don't you think, though, that over the next 75 years, that with medical advancements and different things that will happen and other things that we can develop, that isn't 75 years too far out to look, really?
Well, 75 years is a figure that is obviously a very rough figure. It's used by the Social Security and the Medicare actuaries to give us some idea of what the future looks like. Nobody gets – it's got to be a wrong number. It could be more expensive or less expensive.
Of course, all projections are wrong. We know that.
All projections are wrong, but my guess is that it is actually going to cost more because we're going to live longer. Inventions, all of those inventions, the new medications, the new ways, the new procedures, are going to allow us actually to discover cures for things which we don't have cures for.
Isn't that kind of where we are right now? I mean, aren't we having a situation here, a kind of a high class problem we got here? I think where we are living longer because of modern medicine, but it's costing money.
It's costing a huge amount of money, and it raises not just tax issues because we have to address the cost, but these are the most painful ethical questions because so much of the Medicare costs occur for people very late in their lives. And it means that we are being very sympathetic to older people. My father just died at 99. He got marvelous coverage under Medicare. But it means that I think we are shortchanging the children of the future. Some people refer to it as child abuse, that so much of our economy is going to be taken up with caring for the elderly that there will be far too little in the future for children.
Yeah.
And I think it's a huge ethical issue. I believe that we're going to need to have a federal health budget. We're not going to be able just to spend on anything. We'll have to make real decisions about these things, and they're very tough decisions.
Well, John, you're speaking like a logical, sensible, rational human being, and what does that have to do with politics?
Well, I know. Well, one political part of it that is really, it's really outrageous. The Dartmouth Medical School recently examined Medicare expenses, and here's where really we could do something about it. They concluded that about one-third of all Medicare expenses were unnecessary, overcharges by hospitals, doctors, others. And we have to do a better job of oversight.
John, isn't Medicare, the challenges of Medicare, really part and parcel with the challenges we have in health care, period?
Absolutely.
Isn't it more a systemic industry problem than it is really a political problem or a funding problem?
Well, no, I think it's all of those things. See, I really do, because we now have there's 77 million baby boomers. 77 million. They're going to begin retiring in a few years, and you can't avoid that.
Except for me, I'm working forever. Stand by, John. Quick break. John Fox and I are going to be right back after these messages. It's 20 after. Here's Dire Straits to take us out. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you'll subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And don't forget to check out our blog, top left-hand corner. Click on that and you can see how it looks. I'd like your comments on that. John Fox is our guest and our good friend, the author of 10 Tax Questions the Candidates Don't Want You to Ask. John, your father passed away recently at 99. He was a witness to a century, wasn't he?
He really was. I said at his funeral that
Dr. Saul Fox, by the way.
Dr.
Folks.
Saul Fox,
99,
grew up in Boston. I said there are not that many people alive today who were born when Teddy Roosevelt was president. and it was really true. And I asked him once. He was, of course, a Red Sox fan growing up in Boston. I said he was 12 years old when the Red Sox won the World Series in 1918.
He lived through both of those. Then
he
didn't
really
he?
Did.
Yeah.
But,
Well, John, I want you to know that I'm dedicating the rest of the show today to your father, Dr. Saul Fox.
Oh, I'm very touched
and
by
his,
that.
And his memory.
Very touched by that.
And his memory, because I know you loved him. I know you looked after him, and so we'll be thinking about him all day today.
Oh, that's just wonderful. Thank you.
John, let's get back. Now, your father, as mine was, and as my mother is benefiting, they benefited from Medicare, didn't they?
Absolutely. And the difficulty, Jim, is among other things, that that the seniors today, including my father, never paid sufficient premiums to support the Medicare costs. And I believe, and I've written about this in the Washington Post and elsewhere, that we have to be realistic. Seniors who can afford to pay additional premiums for Medicare must be asked to do that, and politicians have to say that to them. And I think it's the responsible thing for seniors to be doing. We all love our children and grandchildren, but to show that love, part of the act that we have to engage in is to own up to the costs that we are otherwise imposing on them.
But you know, John, it's a culture it's part of the culture that these folks in that generation that to spend that kind of money on medicine is they just can't believe it. I remember my father would say, "Can you believe how much these pills cost?" And I said, "Well, Dad, how are you feeling?" He said, "I'm feeling good." I said, "Well, isn't it worth it?"
Well, no, but that's the dilemma, isn't it?
I mean, he had medicine available to him.
Yes.
That if without that medicine, he would not have been feeling well. Maybe not have lived as long. Your father too, but yet when it comes time to pay the bill, they got a problem with it.
We've got a problem. We're asking our children and grandchildren to pay the bill.
There's one thing though I'd like to point out, and I think this is a reality. Let's say that over the last 40 years, my father and your father paid a higher premium. In fact, they paid enough to basically fund Medicare properly. The money still wouldn't have been there. You know why? Because during the years when it wasn't needed, when it was had an opportunity to build up as a surplus, our government, our politicians in Washington, D.C. would have raided it like they do the Social Security, and they would have spent it already.
Well, we would have had to pay much higher income tax.
Am I wrong about that, John?
No, well, they have spent it, and it raises a big problem because the reality is that because they've spent it, we have a long-term federal deficit that is trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars.
Yep.
Let me just point out that the part of Medicare that we think of most, the hospitalization and nursing home care, that trust fund is going to be exhausted by 2020. Mm-hmm. That means there'll be no more money in the trust fund, only ongoing Medicare tax. Taxes will pay for Medicare, and it means that if we don't reform things, and that's just 15 years, people who are 50 years today will be 65 in 15 years, it means that the benefits will have to be cut by about 21%.
So how do we reform this, John? How do we reform it?
Well, there are a number of things. First of all, the Medicare age ought to be increased as the Social Security age is. It's Medicare is still at 65.
Okay.
We're living much older. We ought to be. It ought to be.
I think my year for Social Security is 66 or 7. I've forgotten.
Yeah, and it's moving up to 67 by the year 2027, I believe. Medicare ought to do the same thing.
Okay.
Secondly, seniors ought to pay higher premiums for Medicare. Who can afford it? No question about it.
Means testing for Medicare.
I think much more of that. I think that we need much better oversight. This Dartmouth study and other studies.
You think means testing for Social Security too, don't you?
I think that I don't believe entirely in means. I think it should be a universal program, but I think that we have to do much more to focus the benefits on people in need and reduce the benefits for people who don't need them.
Right.
I don't think we can solve. We just can't have it all.
Now you also mentioned earlier a health budget, a national health budget.
I think we need a budget. I think the American, and I think most of all, Jim, we talked about this on tax policy generally. Politicians have to be honest with, they have to square with the American public and say, look at what's happening to Medicare costs. What does the public really want us to do?
Right.
Because we can't have it all. And I think finally on prescription drugs, I'm going to say something that may be unpopular, but I think we're becoming
first time you've done that, John.
I know. I think we're becoming a drug culture. I think that we're becoming overly dependent upon prescription drugs. I think the drug companies are often overcharging, but I think Americans need to really get much thinner. They have to get in shape, and they have to do a better job of looking after themselves.
Well, I think that's one of the things, what it should have been your first thing. We got to do a better job of taking care of ourselves and get healthier, eat healthier. John, you've given some good thoughts. I got 30 seconds. Do you think that the flat tax is a good idea?
I think that simplifying the income tax is a very good idea. The flat tax troubles me, and you'll hear from Steve Forbes. It troubles me, first of all, because he does not tax in his flat tax any passive income, dividends, interest, capital gains.
Isn't that what makes this economy grow, John?
Well, but to be a zero tax means that the tax is going to have to be picked up by the working people of America. I think that's unfair.
I'll ask him about that when he'll be
right
on the show on Friday. I'm going to say, John Fox wants to know this question.
I'm going to call in.
Right, there you go. Hey, John, thanks.
Thank you.
See you there. John Fox, ladies and gentlemen. It's 29 after. I'll be right back with Bill Dunkelberg. Stay with us. Oh, yeah.
Prosperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.